And the words from the psalmist. For come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to God with songs of praise. So we join together to sing, Come, All You Vagabonds. Together to pray, let us pray. God, we are a scattered people. Always we are roaming and always looking for a place to call home. But you are God who calls us to a centre that is home and gathers us in, even in our separateness. You give us a knowledge that we are welcome. You have sought us out. We are people who are hungry and who are thirsty, strangers, imprisoned, exposed, knowing that you have come to us in many disguises. In our brokenness, welcome us and open up our defences as we come to worship you. We ask that you would forgive us, For we have seen those who are broken and have not been moved to compassion. We have heard that people were mourning and we did not give them our time. We have been the witnesses of oppression and we have not raised our voice. We have seen the stranger and have not said a word. God, hiding in all strangers and all around us, we are truly sorry for what we have done, and we are truly sorry for what we have not done. And we ask that you would deepen your welcome in us, so that we might deepen our welcome of those who are around us. And the Lord says that our sins are forgiven, and we respond, thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you like to speak to us?
Good morning. Hello. Yes, you can hear me. Great. Brilliant. I have been in reflective mode this week, and I've started thinking about Christmas, which is nigh on miraculous for me. I've even bought a couple of Christmas presents, which is doubly miraculous for me because it's not even December yet. Not even Christmas Eve yet. And I was thinking about presents, and I always try and buy something that is appropriate, obviously, something that I really think the other person will enjoy. Sometimes I don't get it right, and I'm sure people do the same for me, that they'll buy me something that they think, yeah, that's a really Sally kind of present, but sometimes they don't get it right, let's be honest, and without wanting to sound ungrateful. Sometimes we do get presents where we open it and we think, words fail me, that is a strange present. And I'm going to share one of those presents with you. I've got it in my office. It's this. I use it to put pens and pencils in. It's a plant pot, a lime green plant pot. Now, my friends know that I am not green fingered. I don't have a garden. It's only been fairly recently that I've had plants in my home. And it came just as, it didn't come with a plant. It was just a plant pot. And it had some little lights in, which were supposed to be hung around a plant, I think, tiny little light thing, which was attached to a battery operated unit. And I just thought, you know, the intention was there. I've got to be thankful. But I just thought that's a bit odd, really. It's not even a decorative one. It's plain. I just thought it was weird. And I thought, just for a bit of fun, before I get to the serious bit, you could suggest things in the chat function of things that you've had, which are just frankly a bit odd for Christmas, okay? But it comes with a warning. Please don't suggest anything that someone from this church family has bought you. Just have a little think, you know. I don't want anyone to be upset or offended. So if you can think of any presents that were just a little bit kind of odd, then let us know. We'll have a bit of a giggle. Don't worry if you can't think of anything. But so A wall repair kit? Antique candle holders for a 9-year-old. Oh, lovely. A golden octopus snow globe. Have you still got that, Carol? If you've got it, show us, because an eye wax spoon. What is an eye wax spoon? Oh, my word. An eye wax spoon, Kathy. Ear wax spoon? No. No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Carol, we can see what Carol's got there. Let's have a look. Oh, wow, yeah, okay. Random tiny stuffed mouse in a tiny bath, complete with weenie bath brush and sponge. Brilliant, thank you for those. Okay, so I've been thinking about presents, but I've also been thinking about presents that don't come wrapped. And that's very much what I've been thinking about when I've been thinking about the Bible passage for today, because it's talking about compassion. And compassion doesn't come wrapped up in a present. Thinking about what is compassion in our everyday life? And then I started thinking about a post that I'd seen on Facebook years ago that I printed off, and it's up in my office. It's kind of like a poem, and it's in the shape of a Christmas tree. I liked it so much, and I found it very thought-provoking. I thought I'd share it with you today. So, Izzy, if you wouldn't mind, I will read it. Here we go. This Christmas, end a quarrel. Seek out a forgotten friend. Dismiss suspicion and replace it with trust. Write a love letter. Share some treasure. Give a soft answer. Keep a promise. Find the time. Forgo a grudge. Forgive an enemy. Listen. Apologize if you were wrong. Try to understand. Examine your demands on others. Think first of someone else. Be kind. Be gentle. Appreciate. Laugh a little more. Express your gratitude. Gladden the heart of a child. Welcome a stranger. Take pleasure in the beauty and the wonder of earth. Speak your love. Speak it again. Speak it yet once again. Now that would be a compassionate Christmas to remember. Amen.
We have two readings from Ezekiel and then from Matthew. In the Ezekiel passage, the greatness of God is demonstrated in God's capacity to find, protect, provide for, and guide God's people. And God is presented as an alternative shepherd of the flock who is diligent, compassionate, and who will gather in those who have been scattered. And that is in contrast with the leaders of the people who have established power and control. And then from Matthew's gospel, we get the story tells us what matters is our openness to respond compassionately to human need. And since the gospel according to Matthew is interested in the way of a disciple, perhaps then this is a good conclusion for the teachings of Jesus, which is where this comes in the gospel according to Matthew. Carol Clack will read the Ezekiel passage to us, and then Anne McFarlane will read the passage from Matthew.
Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 16. And 20 to 24. I, the Sovereign Lord, tell you that I myself will look for my sheep and take care of them, in the same way as a shepherd takes care of his sheep that are scattered and are brought back together again. I will bring them back from all the places where they were scattered on that dark, disastrous day. I will take them out of foreign countries, gather them together, and bring them back to their own land. I will lead them back to the mountains and the streams of Israel, and will feed them in pleasant pastures. I will let them graze in safety in the mountain meadows and the valleys, and in all the green pastures of the land of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will find them a place to rest. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. I will look for those that are lost, bring those back those that wander off, bandage those that are hurt, and heal those that are sick. But those that are fat and strong, I will destroy, because I am a shepherd who does what is right. So now, I, the Sovereign Lord, tell you that I will judge between you strong sheep and the weak sheep. You push the sick ones aside and butter them away from the flock. But I will rescue my sheep and not let them be ill-treated any more. I will judge each of my sheep and separate the good from the bad. I will give them a king like my servant David to be their shepherd, and he will take care of them. I, the Lord, will be their God, and the king like my servant David will be their ruler. I have spoken.
The second reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes as king and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people on his right and the others on his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for me, one of the least important of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you would not feed me. Thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes. Naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you thirsty or hungry, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me. These will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life." Amen.
Hello, my name is Leslie Charlton and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. If we can help you in any way, please get in touch. We'd be glad to do so. We know these are really tough times for everybody. The text that I'm preaching from today are Ezekiel 34, verses 11 to 16, and then 20 to 24, And then Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. I want to live my life by God's standards and doing what a Christian should do, being what a Christian should be. But what should I do then? Or to put it another way, at the end of time, who is blessed and who is cursed? Although what cursed means is worth a moment, because quite often people are more concerned with Dante than they are with the scriptures. So who is blessed? Well, we know the answer. We might not be able to quote it, we'd certainly not know it exactly, but that list in Matthew, we call it the Beatitudes. Who is blessed? Well, it's the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You could say that the gospel according to Matthew has bookended the ministry of Jesus with the Beatitudes at one end and this story at the other. And then he goes into the Passion story. But come on, wait a minute. What happened to that list of the blessed that said, blessed are the kick-ass, the rich, the young, the white, the Western? Look around you. They're the blessed. Well, they might be blessed in this life, but that doesn't mean that they're blessed by God's standards, and it doesn't mean that they're blessed into eternity. So if something else, something different is going on, what is life meant to be? And would your answer to the question be the same as it was last February? My suspicion is that many would say yes. But the wiser ones among us, easy for me to say, would have learnt something and reflected on the purpose of life. It might be that we've come round in a complete circle and ended up where we started. Although we've had a look at the whole of the thing and seen that actually, for some, it needs a major rethink. So is it enough to build your life on self-indulgence with what's the little bit that's left over to do something for others? And that is the leftovers in terms of money and in terms of time. And is life meant to be a pleasant stroll, easy stroll through our days anyway? And who told us that? And as we pause and look at some beautiful vista, we see a sight and we offer a prayer of thanks to God who is in heaven, and we then gently stroll on. Is that the way of growth and fullness of life? Or is it in the battle? Is it in the struggle? And then we do kingdom work, and that is God's work. Is being a follower of Jesus the call to be a charity worker, or is it the call to be a worker for justice? Do we help with the symptoms, or do we battle with the causes? Charity or justice? The story in Matthew is the last parable in a long conversation about the end times. Judgment has played a major part in Matthew's gospel, and we're constantly made aware of the tension between obedience and disobedience. Yet for all the debate about doing the right thing, this is also a call to act. The final strand in the gospel reading is the call to joyful living beyond calculation and beyond measure. This joyful living takes believers to an unexpected place, the cross. The cross in human lives, in human living. The cross of family and community life. It takes them to a place of God's suffering in the world. And just before anyone wants to shut up shop, then let me advocate that such a notion is actually the door to a life lived in all its fullness. So back to Matthew and the story of Holy Delight, those who have done the work just did it. They did what they believed to be right without thought for reward. If someone is hungry, they need to be fed. End of discussion. Get on with it. When I was in my final year of training for ordination for the ministry, I worked in a local church. They wanted to get a group set up to help people in their community. They met regularly to talk about it. Endlessly. Who would they help? Did they need training? What if people were exploited? What if some needs couldn't be met? What about sitting with the dying? Was that appropriate? And on, and it never stopped. And no one was helped. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said that asking the question was actually an excuse for not doing the work. Those who were asking for clarity were actually excusing themselves, so they did nothing. Even worse, they're also accusing the Lord of not making himself known, or accusing the hungry of not saying so. The message of our faith is, yes, about caring, but it's more than that. It's also about justice. It could well be that really you could say, when, Lord, did I see you naked? If your contribution to the whole thing was through infrastructure and resources to make something happen, you never saw a hungry person, but you made sure that a living wage was paid and you made sure that taxes were raised. The Ezekiel passage holds together caring and justice in a way that is missing for some Christians. It's not merely about giving a wee bit of your spare cash. It's a fundamental shaping of life in a particular direction. When, Lord, did we see you hungry or in prison? Christianity is not about an individual personal journey of faith. It's about a transformation of everything about us. We cannot be corrupt, brutalizing, unloving, mean-spirited and neglectful 6 days a week and then think that singing a couple of hymns on a Sunday is going to sort things out with God. That's not how it works. Equally, you cannot think that for Jesus, the format of worship, did you use the correct prayer pause? Did you stop at the right time? Did you move in the right way? To think that that matters to Jesus. His issue is about people on the margins, those who are on the edges of society. This story is about people being judged because of how they looked after the vulnerable in society. And it's a massive challenge to those who have a well-ordered view in their religion. Or if you've been brought up to believe that you need to open your heart to Jesus and then it's all sorted, this text is a problem. It says that we will be judged not on our faith, but on our works, on our actions. It says that the actions that we took for the weakest in society, that will matter the most. It does not say, how many prayer meetings did you go to? How often did you play music or sing in the church? How much of the Bible have you read? Also, it doesn't say anything about the quality of your offering. It says, did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Did you visit the sick or those who were in prison? And those who have been doing such things are full of holy surprise. When, Lord? We didn't know we were doing it for you. We were sort of muddling through and doing the best we could for people who needed our help. And he says, welcome. And he says, thank you. And a quote to finish. Transformation or salvation is so much more than a favour that Jesus effects for certain individuals in a heavenly ledger somewhere. It's a full map of a very real human journey. Not really an absolute necessity, but surely a great gift. And this map is also a participatory experience with a community of some sort, even with a community of unfolding history. I believe the Christian notion of salvation is not just personal enlightenment, but also social connection and communion, which ironically ends up being divine connection too. This alone is full incarnational Christianity, with both the vertical line and the horizontal line forming our central logo of the cross. Never trust only the vertical line or the horizontal line. They must cross and intertwine and become one. And this, indeed, is crucifixion. Richard Rohr. Thank you. Amen.
So let us pray. Jesus Christ, as we reflect on the streets of our cities, we see that your kingdom is not of this world, and we must wait for the kingdom of God. There is rage and stealing and sorrow, and we cry, your kingdom come. Jesus Christ, as we look at the world all around us, and we see that your kingdom is not of this world, where rulers struggle for power over millions, and many die unnoticed by the media, and we cry, your kingdom come. Jesus Christ, as we live our own lives, we see that your kingdom is not of this world. We know many are sick and despairing and deeply held by grief. We are sometimes crushed by disappointments and failures, so we cry, your kingdom come. God of justice, we are constantly under your judgment. We ask that you would challenge the people of power, the leaders of the nations, challenge the worldwide church, and challenge us, each of us. That we would too be intolerant of injustice and move towards a world where our wealth and comfort is not paid for by another's poverty or pain. And we pray on this day for those who are naked and hungry, those who are in prison, and the workers, and those workers who do not know that they are doing your will, but they believe they are doing something that is right. And we hold up our heartfelt prayers of this season. And we offer the prayers that we have spoken and the many more that we have offered in the silence. And we bring them all in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So you'll see from my background that I'm back in the south of England. The reason I'm back here is because my father's circumstances have stabilised. My mother's got carers going. Well, my father's got carers, so my mother's in an easier place, and so I'm back here. My brothers are up there for a few days, and if I need to go again, I'll go again. But that's the situation has stabilised. What we moved into when we first went up there was we thought we were moving into the end times, but that wasn't what happened. But things did step, and now we're back. Today the building is open for private prayer from 4:30 till 6:00, and the building is open for private prayer on a Monday, a Wednesday and a Friday from 10 till 12. Everybody's welcome to use that resource. If you are a knitter, please make sure that you make yourself known to Linda or to me, and we'll pass on your pass on the information that you need for the secret Christmas plan. If you are a person who used to usually give fill up a shoebox, we have to do things differently this year. So if you'd like to make a donation, Janine is the woman for that, and she's collecting a tenner to organise things. That's their suggestion, Link for Hope suggestion. Our church news is out. If you haven't got your copy virtually, let us know and we'll make that happen for you. We are having a 24 hours of prayer, which we usually do towards the start of Advent. It will be on the 4th of December through to the 5th. It starts at 6 a.m. Woo-hoo! We're going to do it. Let's do it. So the biggest chunk will be on Zoom. So there is an option here. There is an opportunity. Have you ever thought, I wouldn't mind doing that, but I think I would be a bit useless and I don't know how I'd do it. And do you know what? Now you could stumble out of bed, 3 in the morning. It'll be you and me. It'll be great. Good opportunity. So offers, please, to hold an hour. That's when we say lead it, we're not expecting an hour's, you know, sermons and hymns. Just hold it for an hour. If you feel that this is something that you could do, let me know and we'll make this happen together. Thank you, Bethany. You've got your volunteer. That's great. I'll be in touch. It's good. Christmas church is having a Christmas party on Zoom. Everybody's welcome from around the world. You're welcome. 12th of December at 3:00, we'll be there. We're busily producing our next podcast. The current one is just about ready to go, and then we're working on the next one. And we're going to be collecting stories about how people have kept themselves going in this time of lockdown and times of social isolation. If you've done something that you think, you know what, this is, I didn't do this before and now I'm doing it, it's great, then share it with the rest of us. Let us know. And if you feel that it would be too sort of arrogant to put your name to it, then send it to me anonymously and we'll read it and put it into the collection. We've started, as you might know, being part of the lunches for homeless and vulnerable people on a Monday. That's our slot. Last week, we had 3 street homeless people who came in for lunch. We expect that will grow as people get to know that we're there. But we are very aware that the situation for the street homeless people at this time is really, really difficult. And that we are hearing stories of increasing numbers of suicides among street homeless people, but not just them, that there are people in the community, and I was hearing about somebody in another bit of the country, that some people are apparently doing okay, but actually not. So I plead with you, if you are feeling that you're a bit fragile and you need a pal, reach out, be brave enough to reach out, and we will help. We will listen, we'll do what we can do. And nobody is to be so prideful that they think that they can't be doing it. If you need company, if you need a conversation, just make a call. Nobody will look down their nose at you. Everybody knows that this is a really stressful and difficult time. So please be brave enough to reach out. Make that call and connect yourself with others. I think those are all my notices, unless anybody has like living War and Peace in it, but I'll send you all an email in a minute. Kathy, there's nothing more. Good to see Martin and Hayon here again. Good. great to see people from around the country. It's fabulous. Brilliant. We're moving towards our communion. I'm going to bring in the bread and wine and then dedicate these gifts along with the gifts of money. If you are continuing to give in your ordinary electronic way, then that's great. If you need to, if you want to post a check to the manse, I will deliver it, post a check to Kingston Knight Reformed Church. It will go in the safe and then it'll go in the bank. If you need help learning about electronic stuff, let us know and we'll help you. But you know, and I know, the bills are still having to be paid, the building's still there, wages are still being paid, M&M's still being paid. So here we go. We'll dedicate the offering, and maybe you have to go running into the kitchen to get your bread and wine. Now is your chance. 3, 2, 1. So let us pray. We bring this bread and this wine to the table of Jesus. With them, we bring ourselves, all that we are, all that we own, and we ask that the ordinary would become holy and that heaven would be open to the people of the earth. Bless our offerings of bread and wine and money and of our very selves, and may God be blessed forever. Amen. The time will come when, with elation, you will greet yourself arriving at your own door in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, "Sit here, eat." You will love again the stranger who was yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you ignored for another who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit, feast on your own life. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine till that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." We are the friends and disciples of Jesus today. He invites us to break bread together, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. So let us pray. Yours is the earth and all that is in it, the valleys and mountains, seas and spray, the land, the pastures, the trees, the fauna. All around us we see stories of your bounty, your exuberant goodness, your flourishing provision, your presence with us, even in this chaos and crisis. You have made us to live here, nurtured by the earth and by work. We find joy in our vocation to be your people, living, working, resting, supporting. We thank you for the gifts of living and for these gifts of bounty all around us. We thank you for the ordinary things of life that speak to us of that which is eternal. Too easily, Lord our God, we shut our eyes and are obsessed with that which is spectacular, but you are present with us in bread and wine, and present with us through one another. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that this bread would be a reminder of the body of Christ. And this wine would be a reminder of the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, we would know that we are not on our own, that we are fed by you, that your generous bounty has been given for us, and that we are united with one another, united with you, and united with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world and through time. Blessing and honor, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." And he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. God, you come in disguises. A friend asking for a chat, a person asking for help, a call for assistance. May we take the time to hear you. May we take the time to learn how to listen for your voice. And to know that when we respond to one person, we are responding to you. And you are the one who always responds to us. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we'll have our final hymn, and then I invite you to stay. We'll see the grace, and then I invite you to stay for breakout rooms. And if breakout rooms aren't your thing, I encourage you to give somebody a phone call. And I would just like to say, after that, we're going to have an emergency church meeting to kick Camilo Fernandez out of this church for that horrible, horrible display he's got behind himself. Disgraceful! Get rid of it! Boo! Meant to be national, let's not talk about football day. Anyway, enough.
No, be kind.
Be kind. Be kind, Camilo, be kind. Right. In case anybody's passed anybody by, Chelsea beat Newcastle yesterday. Actually, Newcastle didn't turn up, but that's enough. Enough. Let's join together to sing. Will you come and follow me?
Thank you.
prayer before we say the grace. O God of kindness, send us out with more time for interruptions and more generosity for kindness, so that we would see you. Amen. Let's say together the grace. The grace of our Lord,
the Lord Jesus Christ,
and the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
be with us all,
evermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.